Would he devote his sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light. Any of you ever heard that song? And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. See, if I could sing, I would just start belting that out right now, and you would feel what I'm feeling. I think of those things tonight. And anytime we worship, I'm trying to sing the songs we're singing, but sometimes, I don't know if your mind ever wonder when somebody's talking, like maybe some of you are going, yeah, right now. This will sound weird to you, but sometimes when we're worshiping and singing, I sort of go off and I start singing one of those songs all by myself in my head. And I feel like I'm with you, but I can't explain that. It just gets me to the cross. It gets me thinking about the blood and what he's done for me. He's the reason I'm here tonight. How about you? Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the blood. It's still the saving gospel. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Sanchez if he would come, Brother Lewis, if he would come and help us tonight in receiving as you give unto the Lord, worshiping in your tithe and offering unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. God, we thank you tonight for your goodness and mercy. We give unto you freely. We pray you be glorified, Father, in the returning of the tithe, the giving of the offering. Let it be a blessing to you given from our heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name. It's good to have my friend and brother with us tonight. I asked him if he would just plan to come and at least greet you. I'm asking Brother Ben to come. He comes over and hangs out at our house every once in a while, and we just feel like he's part of the family, and so we love having him around, and I'm glad he's here. So.
Praise the Lord, everybody. So good to be over in Sela, greet you all. I want to say that I appreciate the ministry of this church, because each and every one of you has a place in that ministry. The congregation, the body of Christ, ministers. And so it's not just Brother Hart and his family, although I appreciate their ministry and their impact in my life, but it's also the atmosphere of praise and worship that you bring into this place, and the willingness to be used of God and let God's work be done in this congregation. I appreciate that so much. You know, since the very first time that I came over to Sela, me and Pablo made the road trip over here. And I know it's for him as well as for me. This place on this side of the mountains is a place to come, get away, and it's a refuge. And it's so funny that the town's name is Sela, because when the psalmist says Sela in the Psalms, it literally means to put on the brakes, stop. And think about what you just sang. And think about what God has done for you in your life. And that's what this town is for me. And that's what this congregation is for me. And I appreciate all of you. And I just pray that the work of God continues in your life.
Thank you, my brother. Now, they slipped in last week. And they slipped in again this week. And I didn't give them a warning. But I'm going to put them on the spot anyway. It's good to have Brother Miko here as well, Laksamana. I'm going to ask him to come and at least greet you as well. Like I said, I didn't give him a warning, but he's all right. Come on, brother. Amen. He might share something with you in Tagalog even. He's feeling so lit.
Not to disappoint you, but if I could share something with you in Tagalog, I would. My Tagalog is about as good as your Tagalog. Let me just say that. I could eat in Tagalog, though. It's so good to be here with all of you. We were here last week, and it was just so great to, you know, fellowship and the spirit that was definitely here last week. And also here today, as soon as, we walked in and the worship began, it was like, you know, something activated. And I know that a big part of that as well was what took place, you know, before service and in prayer. So I just want to say I appreciate the spirit of prayer that this body has. I guess I'll just say one thing, if that's okay. So I was talking with my brother Jerry. I don't know where he's at right now. But we were talking about our son. So he's right there. His son's 6 months old. Mine is 2.5 months old. And we were just, you know, we were over there, as Pastor Hart called it, the dad wall in the back, talking for a little bit. And he had mentioned hearing about something that my wife had posted about a story that took place a couple days after Noah was born. And I just feel to share just a little bit of that, if that's okay. The main thing being, if you have a Bible, so and if you want to pull it up, I just want to read it really quickly, tell you a quick story, and then tell you just really how that, like, how much that means to me today and what it meant to me back in the day, I guess. So Psalm 139. And probably a few verses in. So this is a pretty common passage of Scripture. And it's very encouraging. If you've read it before, you know that it's one of those passages that, you know, when you're in a really dark season of life, or, you know, you're walking through a valley, this is one of those Scriptures that you can really hold to and say, this is my encouragement, right? And I've always thought of it as that, but in my own mind and in my own context, in my own perspective, as someone who hasn't really been to the deepest depths that some of humanity has been. You know, everyone has a testimony, and some of our testimonies is that God's been able to shield us from some things. But there are always moments, right, that you can look back on, regardless of what's happened in your life, that you can say, there's nothing else there to say but God. Okay, so let's go with verse 10. So in this psalm, he's talking about where God is, right? And all the places that he can lead you in, and where he leads you to, and where he is with you. He's giving you ranges. And it says, even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light, and the night will be the only light around me, even the darkness is not dark to you and conceals nothing from you. But the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. So here's the part. For you formed my innermost parts, and you knit me. In the Amplified, it says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately, I'm reading from the Amplified, and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all of the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. When as yet there was not one of them taking shape. So now that I've read that, we are first-time parents. This is our first child. And for all of you here who are parents, you probably think back to those first few weeks and say, wow, you know, that was like boot camp. And I know I do, even today. And, you know, we get set back. Does that ever end? Couple days after, right, we get discharged from the hospital. Thankfully, it was a uncomplicated birth. Everything, nothing to monitor too closely afterwards. And so we were sent home to start this journey. We were very excited, very nervous, very anxious, all of those things, right? And then we were called into the doctor for a couple of your average kind of pediatrician's appointments. For them to check on things, see where his levels are at, if there's anything to monitor. And so we did. It turns out he had this thing called jaundice, where They said, we got to monitor this, so we're going to need to bring him back for blood tests, you know, a heel poke every day for the next few days. So we did, and then the next day, so the third day that Noah's third day, we go in for his second pediatrician appointment, and the doctor says we need to poke him three times today. We need his blood three times. And we were very hesitant. After this second one, he was throwing such a fit, and something didn't quite feel right. And so the doctor said, hey, why don't you nurse him for a little bit, calm him down, and we'll come back in a few minutes and give him his last blood test. We're almost done. Okay, all right. I'm sure everyone goes through this. It's going to be okay. 5 minutes later, the doctor comes in. Tara's negotiating, I'll say that, with the doctor about having this third test. So she's having this conversation and nursing Noah. A couple seconds after, you know, they start having their talk, and the doctor says, we have to give this test. We noticed that his hysterical crying stopped. And the doctor says, all three of us are in this room in the Swedish clinic. And Tara, you know, takes Noah out, looks at him. Noah's face is white. Completely white, flush, and his lips were turning blue. I'd never seen anything like it. You hear stories like this, and the moment it happens to you, or when you see it in person, it's the most surreal, it was the scariest moment of my life, of our lives to date. It's bar none, easy to say. As we saw him go to that state, we saw him in that state. The doctor starts yelling, and this is where the commotion happens. This is where the drama begins. And she says, go get a doctor. I run out, go get a doctor. We're yelling down the halls of this clinic. Nurses are coming over. One of them flips a chair, literally, flips a chair on the way over to the thing. They start giving him CPR. One of them says, call a medic, call the ambulance. One of the more senior doctors comes over and starts helping, all in the matter of maybe 15 seconds. This felt like an eternity. In that moment, I just want to say, these moments in church can seem insignificant or just sometimes our walk as Christians can seem insignificant, or what kind of part does this play in the bigger picture? I can't tell you looking back how thankful, because sometimes you don't know how much faith you have until it's really, really tested, right? I can't tell you how thankful I am that our response, my wife and I, our first response was we looked at each other in the eyes and said, we're gonna pray. I don't even actually think we said we were gonna pray. We just started praying. In that moment, at the doctor's office in downtown Seattle with people all around us, and we started speaking in tongues. We knelt on the ground, and I could see from the corner of my eyes the doctors with their hands on him performing CPR, compressions, and no breath. They said he was breathless for 90 seconds, and I remember claiming Jesus' name over him and the healing of God's blood over his life. You know, you talk about an Abraham situation, an Isaac situation. This was that in real life. And I'll never forget what it was like to be on my knees. And you see that door right there. You see the corner of the hinge, how you can see just a little bit of a sliver of what's beyond it. That was my view. And I could see his arms through the car seat go from limp to they started moving, and I could hear a cry. I heard a cry come from Noah's mouth. And my point is, one, you don't know just how much faith you have. There are just times where you don't really know until it's tested. And the second being, when God's word becomes real in your life. It's truly unexplainable what it's like to go from reading a scripture and to thinking that's nice and motivational, and that gives me a bit of a butterfly kind of feeling, and that might get me through my day. And no, this is supernatural, and there's something at work. There's a different realm. His blood is a real thing. His healing is real. And that when I'm walking with him, I truly am walking with him. He's walking with me. He's holding me. He's leading me. And he sees me wherever I'm at. So I just feel to encourage someone today. I don't know how real his word is to you today or tonight, or how real it really is to you. But through relationship, through what can seem insignificant, this is what builds that. This is what builds us to the point where when we get to those moments, it's almost like, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here with you. I'm jumping in right now because I'm walking with you. Like I'm jumping into this situation. I'm not jumping into this situation. I'm here in this situation with you right now. It's a transition from, oh, God, I haven't spoken with you in years. Can you pick up the phone? To walking side by side. And so, you know, it's different when I read the words. I won't look at this the same moving forward. For you formed my innermost parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Because when I read that, I think about my son. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it very well. My soul knows it. When I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed, your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were appointed for me. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He heals still. I just want to be real with you tonight. Is that all right? As Ben was talking, the Lord knows why. I saw Abraham offering his son Isaac on the altar. And some thoughts went through my mind at that moment. And anytime you're sharing something, probably sometimes or oftentimes to a fault, I'm trying to consider, how's this going to impact somebody when they hear this? Does that make sense? If you begin telling a story or talking about someone that's been battling cancer, and you think about someone that may be in the room that's relating, does that make sense? And so when Ben was speaking and that thought of Abraham and Isaac went through my mind, I thought of Miko and Tara, knowing this story, and I thought, well, this is a little fresh still in their mind, so I appreciate you sharing those things. You understand, Isaac was Abraham's promise from God. I mean, I understand he was his son, but he was much more than just his son. He was God's promise to Abraham. You and I are a result of the promise to Abraham that came through Isaac. And so when the Lord said, I want you to sacrifice your son, he was asking him to take what God had promised and trust it back into the hands of God. And I love when I read Hebrews, because Hebrews doesn't say, and Abraham rejoiced that God didn't have him carry it out. Hebrews said, and Abraham was obedient, believing that God would raise him back from the dead because he had already promised him. That's a big difference than, well, I'm just thankful he didn't have me follow through. He had such a confidence in, Brother Miko, the Word of God, that it's true no matter what. If God's asking for my son, God's got a plan. God promised me this. I'm not telling anybody tonight the Lord's asking you for your kid. I hope you understand that. But whatever your promise, if the Lord promised it, His Word never fails. His Word never fails. I'm thankful for that tonight. Praise God. I'm thankful that Noah Jude is with us tonight, too. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to dismiss our teachers to their classrooms tonight. When we were greeting and shaking hands, I told Brother Miko when he was back there talking to Brother Jerry, I said, you know, when you're in Puyallup, there's two or three carrying around a baby. I said, man, here, everybody's got one in their hands, so come on. I'm thankful for that. Amen? I'm thankful for that. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our children to their classes tonight. May God minister to them. Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to pray together tonight. Many dads and moms are delivering children down, well, delivering their children to the classroom. I better say that the right way. And they'll be back in a moment. I'd like those of us that are here to pray together. I want us to continue to remember Colin. Brother and Sister Flower's son, I know many have been praying. I want us to continue to pray there. The Lord is at work. God is in control. Amen? There's power when we pray. And you all know James and Christy. They're not here tonight. And I'm sure several of you are aware, Christy's mom has been battling cancer and was in communication with her today. They were at North Star today and wanting to begin some treatments based on where they're seeing her mom at. And Christy's mom is saying, you know, I don't think so. I don't think I want to go through that to see what it might add. And Christy's respecting that, but the doctors are telling her that without treatment, they would give her 2 to 4 weeks. And so when I finished visiting with Christy, she was going to speak to hospice, and she was resolute, and I'm trusting God, whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do this, I'm trusting God, whatever He, and, but she said, would you have the church pray for me and my mom? And I said, absolutely, we'll pray. And so I'd like us to do that tonight. I want us to pray for Colin, for the Lord to continue healing, to complete what He started there. And I want us to, I'm sorry I can't remember her mom's name. I apologize, I'd tell you that. But could we pray for Christy's mom and for Christy and that family? The Lord is at work in this situation. I'm going to be there at their home tomorrow. They're taking her to Christy and James home. Could we pray together right now? Why don't we stand together? I know we pray just as well sitting down, but well, let us agree together. Let's put our faith in action as we talk to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are Jehovah Rapha. I pray your healing, Father. I pray the working of your Spirit in the life of the child. I pray the reaching of your Spirit into the lungs and the respiratory system. All of those areas of the throat there. I pray your healing virtue in the name of Jesus Christ. By the name and the authority of your name, we pray healing, restoration, and renewal. In Jesus' name, we pray tonight for Christy's family, for her mother. Ila masonto reyama. Le curie sorori apasheno. Eluriello bocori attaiere le diha. I corori amasuri ete ele diando. Your spirit of ministry. Your spirit of ministry into her heart and life. The working of your will in the family. The instructing of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Life experience makes the word real. Doesn't it? I mean, it's just as real before. Amen. I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. God bless you. I'm asking Bishop to come.
Amen. Yes. You may be seated. I appreciate those things that I've heard tonight, that we've heard, we've received. I was thinking as Ben was standing up here, you know, Ben is, I could say that we're all unique. I could say that we're all unique. That'd be true. We are. We are unique. But there is an element that I have come to recognize in Ben. I could say the same thing about Ethan, about Autumn, Miko, Tara, Loren. They did not choose when they came into this world that their parents would be involved in the ministry in the way that they are. And there are experiences that are relatively unique to them. That, you know, it's easy for us in our humanity to say, well, you know, well, I could identify with that. Well, I cannot. I cannot. And so whenever Ben is called on to say something, that's the first thing that I see in him is the framework and the windshield that he looks through because of his, not a choice that he made, but a choice that God made. God chose this for you, 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 you. He chose that of you. And so there is a, there's been a shaping and a forming from the very beginning back to the womb that is particular to you. I don't share it. But I can identify and recognize it in its uniqueness. There's things that come with it that are heavy. And there are things that come with it which are great blessing that reach back to previous generations. Okay? I'd like for Loren to come and take a minute. She doesn't know I'm going to do that. I'm asking for Autumn to come and take a minute, in a minute or two. Now, from the context of what we're talking about, let's receive something from the Lord here tonight, as we have. I got to tell you, I was having a hard time sitting through Miko because it was causing me to go back through it as a parent. And I wasn't sure if I could say anything tonight because my emotions had risen so quickly in that situation. I'm thankful for the faith. I'm thankful for what it has done in their lives. But it was hard. It's still hard. It's still hard to hear. Loren, come on. We talked about last week that we are all members in particular in the body of Christ and that we are a building fitly framed together. And so you understand what is going on in the lives of these individuals and what has affected them affects us. Okay?
Kayla was going to come tonight, and now I regret this decision. I didn't want Colin loves, he's, Caleb is his favorite, and so he falls apart if Caleb leaves, and I didn't want him to do it again. So I was like, I'll go to church. So here I am. There's, you know, as they were talking, there's nothing. I'm, you know, I think some of these guys at church, these preachers or whatever, you know, they're always kind of filling things when they're at church. And I'm not one of those people. I'm not like, oh, they're going to hand me the mic at any moment. So I need to have, you know, what's the Lord telling me? So when he said that, I'm like, there's nothing. So what I'll tell you about is, and it's kind of funny because it's not like we're talking to a group of preacher's kids. So I don't want to just, you know, talk about preacher's kids. But a lot of you are involved in ministry to a great extent. I mean, to a great extent. And if you know my dad, minister's license means very little as far as your involvement in ministry because we're all called to ministry. And there, growing up, there was this lady in our church who once in a while would get in my ear and tell me about how hard it was to be a pastor's kid. And so I would go home and repeat something to my dad, and my dad would shut it down. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. You would live a blessed life. You are so blessed. You know, this is not hard. And I appreciate that because I've been around kids that have grown up in church or grown up in the ministry, and somewhere along the line, they've been allowed to believe that this is a burden, being in the ministry or being a child of the ministry, when we have had so many great experiences. And I even went through this struggle in my late teens, early 20s. And so I've felt this for Joey at times, even just wondering what he's going through, because you watch your parents live such a dedicated life that you're almost a little worried to step outside of that. Like, can I pursue a career? Should I go to college? You know, am I making a wrong decision here? Because I've seen my parents on their face every single day, you know, that intense lifestyle. And since I was, you know, a kid, my dad was always the same person. No matter what anybody tells you about ministers, you know, they're not all hypocrites. I don't know if you've ever heard that. But growing up, my dad was the same person at church that he was at home. And he was the same person at home that he was at church, in the shower, in the car. You know, the person on the platform was in the car. So, you know, he might be praying right now or, you know, feeling after God. So you might talk quietly. It was always kind of intense that way. And so I've kind of just been in this. I've had to work my way out being an individual and being a parent. And, you know, how intense should I be with my kids? You know, like, are we spiritual enough? Do we all need to be on our faces right now? And, but I do want, I get serious. Callum is like little Larry Schoonover. Callum, my son. If you know him very much. His personality is much like my dad. And so I've kind of always groomed him for that in ways. Like, you know, you're going to be a prayer warrior. And you're going to, you know, be passionate. Have passion. You can't live without passion. And so I just drill that into Callum. And so I want to tell you about Wednesday night. Callum's been talking about how he wants the Holy Ghost. And he's very serious about it. And, you know, that's another thing about growing up in church that I know my parents cannot relate to. And I think I recently talked to my mom about it a few years ago. But being a child in the church, and there's no children here right now, so the fear of hell is a real fear. And they used to preach about it more, if you remember. And that is how I got the Holy Ghost. I was very shy. I'm pretty shy today sometimes. But I was not. Kaylee was like that. She was like Hadley, you know, like go to, they'd play songs. She'd raise her hands and I'd be like, Kaylee, why are you raising your hand? We were like eight, like, what are you doing? And so I was very proud that way and embarrassed. And one Sunday we had been in home missions and we went to the Yakima church and the pastor's wife got up and said the story that you've probably all heard before where somebody picks up somebody on the side of the road and it's an angel and they said God's coming soon. And I was so terrified. I didn't hear a single word the rest of that service. Not a word. I don't even know what he preached about. All I had in my mind was as soon as they give the altar, I will be there. Because I'm going to hell. If God comes back, that's where I'm going. And so I did. I went straight up there. I got the Holy Ghost. And it was just, it became a very real thing to me. Anyways, Callum's at that stage where he's, I can tell, and it's hard as a parent because you want to relieve them of that fear. And, you know, we are American. So, you know, we're so lighthearted and we're not as serious as other countries are about things like this. And so I want to relieve him of the pressure and tell him not to think about it and everything's okay. And but so he's got this in his mind, you know, I've got to get the Holy Ghost. I've got to get baptized. And the other night on the couch, we were talking about it again when Caleb, I think it was Wednesday night. So Caleb was at the hospital. And so I was talking to him and Annabelle and they were talking about getting the Holy Ghost. And I asked Callum, you know, do you want me to pray for you right now? We can pray right now. And so he got down on the couch and Annabelle and I were praying for him and I was trying my best because I'm not an expert at praying people through the Holy Ghost. And I was really praying and Callum right away was just crying and saying, I had told him in the past, God likes to hear that you can't do anything without him. You need to tell him that you can't do it without him. And so he's just crying. He's like, I can't do anything without you, God. I can't. I love you. I want the Holy Ghost. And I prayed with him as long as I could with Annabelle staring at us. And and then it kind of just, it let off. And he felt good. He felt really good again. And he was like, let's pray for Annabelle. And this is like, I felt, this is Larry Schoonover coming out. Let's pray for Annabelle. Okay, so let's pray for Annabelle. And now Noelle's coming down and joining us. So he's got his hand on Annabelle's head, and he doesn't have the Holy Ghost yet, and he's just praying so sincerely, God, we love her. We love her. Heal her. Help her. She needs the Holy Ghost. And so serious. And then he's like, we have to pray for Noelle, and Noelle's just trying not to laugh at us. So I'm like, you really want us to pray for Noelle? Okay, we'll pray for Noelle. So we're praying for Noelle, and Callum is just serious as can be. And he's like, I did. I felt bad. I chuckled at one point. Because he's like, come on, God. She needs desperately. Come on. Come on. And then we worshiped for a while, and he just walked back and forth in the living room. We love you, God. We love you. We love you. We can't make it without you. And to me, that was just one of those blessings. I want it to be as real to them at home as it is at church. So at church, they're not timid and afraid because media is so invading our lives. It's such a real thing. You know, if you have children, you have tablets. And I constantly feel convicted about them. And it's not because we don't let them watch bad material. It's because I feel like it's filling them up. And that makes me very nervous. But I do know when God pulls on someone, they will feel it. And so you kind of have to not let yourself worry about those things as much. I mean, be a good parent. But always worrying, you know, that I'm not depriving them enough so they'll feel God when we're at church. You know, too much fun, too much food, too much iPad. And when God pulls them, it will be real. And I don't know if I said anything that made any sense or just made you laugh, but I'm thankful for the blessing of having my children in the church. And we don't get this a lot up here in the Northwest, but it's not just a heritage thing. It's not my dad was in church and his dad was in church. I grew up, my parents had grandparents in church, but they weren't really raised in church, neither of my parents. And so there was a freshness to their walk with God because they were not grown up in church. So everything was very real and very serious in our home. And that's a blessing. That really is a blessing. You can get around people who've been in church for years and their parents have been in church for years, and they start to take things very lightly. Brother Hart's not that way. But they can take things very lightly. But I feel so blessed. When we were in Mississippi, I would tell people all the time, my dad was a drinker. Like, they're all, my dad was, you know, brother so-and-so, my grandfather's brother so-and-so. My dad was an alcoholic. Isn't that awesome? He got the Holy Ghost. That is so cool. And I got to be raised by new converts, basically. That's the best thing, I think. That's a blessing to your kids. So that's where it's at.
I'm so blessed to be here tonight. Just listening to what Lauren had to say and thinking of my own parents and their walk with the Lord. And my dad was raised in church. My mom was raised in church, not a Pentecostal church, but a church. And just thinking about how far that God has brought us, really, you know. Sometimes it's kind of hard to see growing up in a pastor's home, but just all that God's kept me from and all that he's brought me into. And I'm thankful for just all that he's blessed me with. You know, he's constantly showing me things and ministering to me, but I'm thankful for what he gave me growing up. You know, I wouldn't be where I am without my parents and just the walk that they had. And so I'm thankful for that.
Thank you. Can you go get Tara? Oh. Yeah, they'll all rebuke me for this later. There's something very intimate and special about this tonight. Would you come and take the mic and just share?
Praise the Lord, church. This is unexpected. Sorry. So I'm just going to share with you something that has been on my heart, and it is personal. So you're getting all of it here. I through the years as a teenager, I struggled with some things, and I never. There was just never really an understanding. So we grew up in church. So we were always in church and hearing the word, and we knew what was right from wrong. But through everything that happened with Noah, it's amazing what God will do to change how you think, your perspective, and just really grab a hold of your mind and your heart. And that was so tough to go through, but I'm so thankful that he did, because we're not the same. And it doesn't make sense why he would do that. Why that? You know, like, why take Noah's life in front of us? And then, you know, I'm glad he came back and everything's good, but why would you do it that way? It doesn't make sense. And it's not always going to make sense. But I'm so glad he did. Through the years, I always struggled with cutting my hair, and it's still a struggle. It's been a struggle through the years, and I don't really know why. but since that whole thing happened, I haven't been able to do that. And I've never really understood, you know, why God would ask that. Why would God ask us not to do that? You know, it doesn't make sense. Not everything makes sense that God asks of you. But, and a lot of women, they choose to wear their hair up. And I think that I respect that. I think, you know, it's beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful hairdos out there and stuff. But I'm going through this thing, and I'm just going to be open with you. It may not be the prettiest, but I want to wear my hair down because I feel like it's worshiping God. It may not be curled and, you know, the prettiest hairdo, but if you've struggled with that, with your hair, that it's not easy. And it may not make sense to men, but there's so many beautiful hairdos out there and hairstyles and haircuts. And when you've lived in the world, you just feel like you're taking care of yourself. I'll just be honest. Like when you cut your hair, trim it, you feel like it just feels like good hygiene almost when you've been doing that. And so when the Lord asked you not to do that, it may not make sense, but you know what? There's so much power. And it's, you may see me with my hair down. It may look like, oh, Tara's a mom. She's just, you know, she's not taking as much time to do her hair. But I feel like that's where the Lord is taking me tonight and right now. And I just see it as worship. I'm worshiping God by doing that. I'm showing him, this is what I'm doing for you. I don't understand it, but I'm thankful. And I want to encourage you women too, if you've been there and that's been a struggle for you as well, let the Lord take you there and use that for his glory. Thanks for letting me share that with you.
Precious, praise God. Could we pray? Father, we entrust our children into your hands. We entrust our children into your hands. If you're a parent here right now and you are feeling this of the Lord, would you, if you would choose to, would you come and stand in the front and begin to speak these words to the Lord? I put my child into your hand. I put my children into your trust. Jesus, I trust you with their lives. Jesus, I trust you with their salvation. Tonight, I entrust their souls into your hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, your words have power with God. Your words have power with God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we dedicate them unto you. We dedicate them unto you. We entrust them into your power, into your hand, Father. Hallelujah, it's you that shapes. It's you that molds and mentors. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's times we don't have the answers. There's times we don't have the understanding. Hallelujah, but we have direction tonight. We entrust them to you. We entrust them to you. There's places that I have influence over. There's places that I have no influence over. I recognize this. I believe this. I don't understand it, but I trust you, Father. I trust you. I have peace with you. Jesus, giving them into your hand. Giving them into your hand. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Y cuando yo lo romací a la mataja. Y a la macele, y a la mata naya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Y coto yo lo romací a la mando. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Even in their teenage years, even in their young adult years, Father, there's things I have no control over, but I submit them into your hand. I submit them into your hand. I trust you with their vocation, Lord. I trust you with their educations, Lord. I trust you with their learning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I trust you with their learning, Lord. I submit their aspirations and their desires to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, let them choose carefully. Let them choose wisely. Let them choose being led of you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ikatayolo romasiha. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise, praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Benjamin Bass is in the Army. Every once in a while, he's called on to make a journey trip somewhere, and he goes out of pocket, no communication. He kind of has a code word he drops on us, lets us know he's out, and then he'll contact us when he comes back into communication. Every once in a while, he drops out of sight, and few days go by, and we'll get a call from his mom. You heard from Ben? No, we haven't heard from him. I think maybe he's on a trip. I don't know. You know, maybe he forgot to communicate to her or something. I don't know. But I'm reminded that when we hear from her, of the power of a praying mom over her son. No matter where he is in the world, no matter what the situation is that he's walking in right now, I can feel the power of a mother's prayer when that woman calls. Praise God. Praise God. I want to make a turn here. A few months back, our contact with Spanish-speaking people has picked up in the Puyallup area. Family, connections, members, people who speak only Spanish, don't speak English. And so they have visited our English-speaking service at 11 o'clock on Sunday, and we've done our best to help and communicate to them. And through, you know, with earpieces and a microphone and things like this. But we felt the burden to address this in a deeper manner, a better way. And so we started having a Spanish fellowship on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, every other Sunday. Two Sundays ago was our first one. Brother Pablo Chan is heading this up, another PK. Anyway, it went well, the first one, and so this Sunday we'll have our second one. I extended an invitation to a few individuals here. if they would want to come and support in that situation, and they've agreed to do that. Brother Luis Rodriguez, Brother Martin Guardado, which I saw his name when they were translating in the Bible in Spanish. His name is in the Bible. And I don't know whoever else the group is that Lewis is invited to come on Sunday. And they'll be in there our 11 o'clock service. They'll be there for fellowship in between. And then there on in the afternoon. I'd like for them to come. And I would like for us as a congregation to pray for them, for their trip, their involvement there. Okay? Why don't you please come? Anybody? I don't know if there's anybody else. Okay. Would you mind? I'm asking all those in the room. There was a time when two men were in a prayer meeting as elders that the Holy Ghost spoke to them and said, separate those men unto me, unto the work where I have called them. And of course, they laid hands on, they prayed, they blessed them. Of course, they fasted. So if you want, we can go ahead and fast between now and Sunday. And then we'll, no, I'm kidding. But I'm appealing to you, if you would come and begin to pray for these and for the group that is going with them, a small group of people. Would you do that? Feel free, please come and begin to pray for these two men and for this work. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. As you know that we support and encourage the involvement of individuals such as the Loxamanas, Brother Bass being here, different ones traveling back and forth as we have. I encourage that. I would admonish you, always communicate to your elder that you intend to make a trip. Okay? Always communicate to Brother Hart if there's some event or just you're wanting to go to town, visit situation. Okay? Always communicate as Brother Ben has communicated with us or Brother Johnstone in Puyallup. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.